This morning, we're going to continue on with our series called Our Church. And I just want to recap the last couple of weeks for you just to bring you up to speed. In week one, we talked about our church reaches. And we said that we reach up because we need God. And we do that through our worship. We do that through our prayer. We do that through reading God's word. But we reach out to people too because we know that people need Jesus just like we do. Amen. And so the picture that we gave is that we're reaching up to God. And we're reaching out to people with hopes that we can connect them to God. And so that was week one. Then last week, we carried on with the series, and we talked about our church serves. Our church serves, and serving is how we show the love. And we really hit hard on setting up the miracle, that God can use people just like you and I to set up miracles in people's lives. And we used the different stories throughout the Bible, how God had four men who carried a paralyzed man on a mat to a meeting that was packed with people. But those guys, with their persistence, got him to Jesus. And because they got him to Jesus, Jesus was able to heal them. They were servants who set up a miracle. We also talked about Jesus' first miracle, where there he was at this wedding and they ran out of wine. And so Jesus' mother puts him on the spot. How many of your mom ever put you on the spot in front of everyone because they just thought you were so good at what you did? And that's what Mary was doing with Joseph. She said, my boy can handle it. And so Jesus tells his disciples, you know, she says, Jesus, just tell them what to do. And so they started getting this water together and they begin to serve it. And as they served it, that's a key thing. As they served it, the miracle took place. And I'm believing that as we're serving as a church, miracles are taking place. We're setting up miracles. And so today, I'm going to carry on with this series. And I just want to recap one verse of scripture that we started the whole thing off with. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And Jesus was speaking. He says, and upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, Jesus is saying this. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now, when you hear a verse of scripture like that, you got to own it. Like, you can't just hear it and think it applies to the organization of the church. You got to own it and apply it to yourself because we are the church. And so when it says, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, you've got to take it personally that all hell might be coming against you, but it will not prevail against you. Come on, somebody, because you are the church of the living God. Come on, you were bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. Therefore, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Doesn't mean that a weapon's not going to form. It just means that it will not prosper against you. Are you hearing this today? Now, I feel like preaching, so I have to warn you ahead of time. I know we're baptizing today and you want to take it easy on the visitors, but I mean, it's stirring. And so we love you. Don't take it wrong. I'm just jacked up right now, okay? Had an awesome set playing the drums. I actually didn't mess up today, so I'm feeling it, all right? So we are the church, and the church is those who have turned from their sins and have turned to Jesus for salvation. And remember, we said we've been called out of the world, and we have been called to God. And he is building his church. He's building us to be the light of the world and examples of his love. He's calling you and I, not just the organization. He's calling us to be the light of the world. Tell your neighbor real quick, you are a light to this world. Help them understand this. Help me preach today. He's literally building his church to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, to touch people's lives and to go into situations and go to people that are in such need. So today I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through 11, and just kind of set the stage for what we'll be talking about here today. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, we work together as partners who belong to God. Now, I want you to notice it says, we work together. Anybody in here, you're a worker. Come on, you're not afraid of a little bit of work. It says, we work together as partners who belong to God. And you are God's field, God's building, not ours. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's trying to help them to understand the bigger picture of what's going on in the church. And he says, we're working together as partners because we belong to God. And so we're God's field, we're God's building. And he's trying to help them to see, this isn't for me, this is for him. And then he says, because of God's special favor to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any other foundation than the one we have already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ. So let me break it down for you before we really, really dive into this thing. You and I, we work together as partners with him. And some versions would say it like this: we are co-laborers with Christ. Now, a lot of people just believe that Jesus does everything and we don't have a part in it. And that is not the case at all. Jesus made sure that we were included in the work that was being done, because God knew along the way there was some work that needed to be done in you. And he found it better to have you on the job site working with him than to have you off somewhere waiting to see if you're good enough to get in with him. You see, he's already made us good enough through what he's done on the cross. Amen. And so he's qualified us not by our qualifications, but by his. And because he has qualified us, come on, somebody, we're good enough. Not because of me, not because of what you're able to do and the good that you're able to accomplish, but because of what he has accomplished on the cross. He knew we couldn't be good enough, so he went to the cross to make us good. And by putting our faith and trust in him, he included us in his righteousness, which therefore sets us in place to help him not only receive the work that he's doing, but to be a part of the work that he is doing. How many of you want to be a part of the work that God is doing? I mean, listen, if I'm a player on your team, I don't want to ride the pine the whole game. I want to get in and play. I want to contribute. I don't want to be a fan the rest of my life. Now, some people are perfectly content with being fans, and that's fine. But listen, being a part of the church is not meant to be a fan. We are followers of Jesus. Amen. That means we're going to get in the game. Now, some of you, you rode the pine before and you got kind of comfortable there, and it's time to get in the game. Can you tell your neighbor that this morning? It's time to get in the game. It's time to get in the game. So watch this. The work that God is doing in you, not only does it benefit you, but it benefits the church as well. Now, I need you to come with me on this, okay? He's working in your life. How many of you would agree God is doing something in you? I mean, you're not the person you used to be, but he's still at work in you. And so he started some work in you, but as he's working in you, he's also doing something in the church. And let me tell you how I know this. This is deep, but follow me. It's because you are the church. And so if he's doing it in you, then he's doing it in church. Now, I know that is so deep, and you just want to impress everybody with it. Feel free to do it. But let me give you a verse to kind of enforce it a little bit. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And I am certain." And when a verse of scripture starts with that, you might want to underline it and hang on to it, because we got a lot of things we're uncertain about. But he says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Amen. God began a good work in you, and he will complete it. And basically, let me just help you with that. God's not finished with you yet. You thought it would, if God only saved me, that would be enough. And listen, God does not finish with you just because he saved you, because there's still work to be done. And if you don't believe me, just ask your spouse and they will let you know there's still work to be done, honey. And if you're a kid, just ask your parents and they would just reassure you there's still some work to be done, honey. How many of y'all know that God still needs to do a little bit of work in your life? So he's not finished. So here's the big thought for today. Is that God uses his church, he uses us to build, to rebuild people. And so today, this week, is our church builds. Our church builds because God has called us to work together with him in building his church. Let me break it down for you a little bit. The first thing is this, is that we build faith. We build faith. And this one is so critical. It's an essential in every person, because what and who you believe determines the course and the destination of your life. You need to hear that. What and who you believe literally determines the destination. It determines where you're going in this life and in the life to come. And so who you're believing and what you're believing is necessary for you to understand that you got to put it in the right place, because the Bible tells us without faith, and I'm talking about faith in Christ Jesus, without faith, we can't be saved from our sins. But by faith, we're forgiven of all our sins. Amen. And so your faith is so important. And so with faith, I can be saved from my sins. Without faith, I can't please God. But with faith, I can. Now, do you know there's a lot of people trying to do a lot of things to try to please God, but they don't trust him. And they feel like it is pleasing to God. But the Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so basically, here's the deal. You can't earn your way to be good enough. Amen. Jesus has already done it. Amen? But he wants us to believe. And part of the job that we have, part of the responsibility that we have as the church, is to help people to build their faith. Because if we can help them build their faith, they're going to believe in Jesus. Amen? And if we can help them build their faith, they can be set free from all those things in the past. If we can help them build their faith, they can believe and trust God for healing. If we can help them build their faith, they can trust that God can restore their marriage. And so faith is an essential when it comes to our walk with God. So as a church, I just feel like it is completely necessary that we help people build their faith. Come on, can somebody agree with me today? We got to help people build their faith. There's a lot of things that people have in mind whenever it comes to building, and they major on all of the results, but they forget how to get there. It's kind of like we know what it's supposed to look like, but I don't know how to get there. And faith is how we help them to get there. And so as the church, we have to help them build their faith. Now watch this. Here's the problem. And this is where the issue arises. In John chapter 16, Jesus told us this. He said, the world's sin is unbelief in me. Now, if you were watching anything on TV, if you were surfing the internet and just checking out culture, you would be led to believe that the world's got a lot of problems. Am I right? Come on. I mean, it's got all kinds of issues, but most of the time we don't conclude that the world's sin is unbelief. Most of the time we're thinking it's greed. We're thinking it's perversion. We're thinking it's all these other things. But Jesus said that the world's sin, the sin that the main issue that the world has today is that they just simply won't believe. Now, how many of you have ever been there? Let's just have an honest moment. How many of you have ever been there before where you said, I want to believe, but like I just don't. Come on, just raise your hand with me this morning. You're like, I want to believe. I know, that's good stuff you're saying, preacher. That's really good stuff. And I want to believe it, but I'm still. That's why the church has to continually work at building faith. Amen? Because there are so many of us that are still wrestling with things. We hear things in the Bible, like when you're diagnosed with an illness and you hear everything the doctor throws at you and you accidentally went on the internet and surfed around and read all those articles and then put them like all over the place and you read all the information and you got you can lead the class. You know what I'm saying? You know so much and you're calling your friends. You tell them, look, I read this article and it's got these 16 things that cause all this stuff. You would be led to believe, I just don't know how we're going to do this. This is where we need our faith to be built. What if we put as much effort into building our faith as we did finding out information about the stuff we're dealing with? Come on. Come on. What if? Just a little what if right there. What if? If we could build faith, and I believe as a church, we need to make sure we're constantly building faith. The world full of hurts, stress, temptations. And this is the stuff that leads people to believe there's no hope. Come on, you've been there. You knew what the Bible said, but yet you heard all that they said. And you kept taking it in. And it kept adding up. And you said, I know that's true, but it's different for me. Come on, how many of you have said that before? Don't raise your hand. Don't sell yourself out. I know that's true. And I would tell all my friends that, but for me it's different. That's a sign that we're losing hope. But Jesus said this. He said that his church would be the light in the darkness. He said that we would be a light in the darkness. So even though the diagnosis looks dark, even though the relationship looks dark, even though things don't look like they're going too well, there's always hope. Amen? Because Jesus is here. And if he's here, anything can happen. So this is where it comes in. In Romans chapter 10, it says this. So faith comes by hearing. That is hearing the what? The good news. It comes by hearing, but by hearing what? Does it come by hearing information or does it come from hearing good news? The good news about Jesus Christ. Because you may have come in here today overwhelmed, but even as the worship songs were playing, you glanced at the lyrics on the screen and you begin to build some hope within you. And you just figure, maybe I'll give God a shot. Maybe I'll give him a chance. Maybe I'll just kind of see what he can do. And the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So faith comes from hearing. And what are we hearing? It is the good news about Jesus Christ. And the church, we the church, have been commissioned with this gospel to preach it to all of the world. Amen. He's given us the great commission. He said, go into all the world and watch. Preach the good news. Tell them some good news. So even in the face of tragedy, we still have some what? We still got some good news. And so as long as we have some good news, which comes from Jesus Christ, we've got some hope. And some of us in here, we thought, I lost all hope. For you to lose hope, you'd have to lose Jesus, not just your mind. We already know you lost your mind. But listen, lose your mind, but don't lose Jesus. Because he can renew your mind. Amen. Some of you are like, I know some people who lost their mind. That's why they need Jesus. But watch this. It's our job as the church to help them to know Jesus. It's our job. It's not our job to tell them what's wrong. Come on, somebody. It's our job to help them to get right. And so instead of pointing them at what's wrong, we point them to who's right. Are you hearing this today? So we don't have to tell people, we don't have to tell them off to prove our religious beliefs to them. Come on, I got to help somebody with this, because you're trying to qualify yourself as godly by telling somebody what's wrong with them. Come on. We don't have to do that. The Holy Ghost can do that. I promise you, he's better at it. He said that our church, the church, will be the light of the world. We're commissioned to preach the good news. And I'll say it like this: preach always. And if necessary, use words. You've heard that before. Preach always. You're trying to figure out what you're called to do. You're called to preach. You're a preacher. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a preacher. Some of y'all are like, can I take the offering? I'm going to do the offering today if I'm the preacher. Preach always, but if necessary, use words. In other words, what is your life saying? What is your life saying? You ever have one of those friends that can talk a good game? I mean, they could tell you everything they're going to do, everything they've done, everything they have planned. I mean, they could just tell you everything, but you don't see any of it. Y'all, anybody know somebody? Don't point at them in here now. I had this one friend. This was back when I was in college. And he would always tell us everything he was going to do. Everything. This is the kind of woman I'm going to marry. This is the kind of house I'm going to have. This is the kind of car I'm going to have. Like, just going on and on about everything that they were going to do. And still to this day, still to this very day, they haven't done any of it. And they're older than me. It's a lot of talk. There's not a lot of action. And let us make sure that as the church, we're not just all talk. Come on. Amen? Yeah. But we got some action to support it. Preach always, if necessary, use God's word. So that means we speak God's word. We speak life to people so that they may believe Jesus. Did you hear how I said that? We speak what? We speak life. So that they will believe Jesus. Because in Mark 9, it says, anything is possible for those who believe. So, of course, part of our job is to help build faith. Amen. How many of you want to help build somebody's faith? Yes. Come on, how many of you would look at your neighbor and say, I can help you. I can help you. So let's go to the second thing. We build faith, but number two is we build the local church. We build the local church. Now, this is what that means. We believe that the local church is the plan of God to reach the world. I want you to hear this today, because there's a lot of mixed opinions about church and what they need to be doing. But here's the reality, that God has chosen to use his church to be the light of the world. He has chosen us. Come on, you got to feel privileged today that God would choose someone like you, even with your past, even with your present, come on, even with all the things in your life, that God would choose someone like you to be the light of the world, to represent him before mankind so that they can know him. And so we, the church, we build the church. And I want you to know that there are churches all across our city. There are churches all across our country. There are churches all across our world that are fulfilling the Great Commission. As a result, people are following Jesus and people are living out God's plan for their life because of local churches in cities all over the world. And we need to be thankful that God saw fit to use people just like you and I to reach people in every city throughout all of the world. And thankfully, we have a part in it. Amen. Not just here in our city, but we're helping plant churches all across our country and even all across our world so that people will follow Jesus and live out God's plan for their life. Amen. And so you and I, we've got a part in building this thing. But I want you to hear what I'm going to share this morning about this, because sometimes our view of church can be so cultural that we don't see really what God intended for it, okay? So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 17, you can follow along on the screen. Let me share this with you. It says, and this is Paul speaking, and he wrote this letter to a church at Ephesus, and he's trying to help them get a picture of how all of this works. And he says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors. I feel good when I read this verse because he's telling me like I'm a gift to the church, and I feel pretty good about myself when I read that verse. Amen? I mean, so just give me a moment to feel good, okay? And so he says, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Notice what it says. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. All I do is work. Come on, that's what we're called to do as the church, is to work. He's called us to be equipped to do the work of building the church. And so it's not just somebody's responsibility to build the church. It's our responsibility to build the church. Are you hearing this today? So watch this in verse 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Now, listen, I need you to understand what he's making reference to here. He's saying that we're called to be equipped and to do the work. And then he's saying this. He follows it up with, then we will no longer be immature. Whenever we are equipped and we are doing the work, we will no longer be mature. And then we will be able to measure up to the fullness of Christ. It's the people who are working it. Listen, Paul tells us about our salvation. You got to what? Work it out. And there's a lot of people that want to receive it. Give it to me. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Make me feel better about it. But listen, once you receive it, you got to put it to work. You got to work that thing, man. And a lot of people, a lot of times, they feel like I can't work it yet because I got to get good in order to work out my salvation. But working out your salvation is how you get good. Some boys that are living in my house, and my oldest son, he plays baseball. He can't get good if he doesn't work on it. He's got to get out there and work on it a little bit. He can't just show up and expect it to come out. He's got to go out there and work on it a little bit. And I feel like that's a word for somebody here today, because you're just waiting for it to magically happen. You're waiting for all those negative feelings just to magically go away. You're waiting for all that stuff from back in the day just to stop. But the word for you today is that you got to put it to work. You got to begin to work it. You got to arrive early and just practice a little bit. You got to get in the cages. Come on, I bring my son to the batting cages, and he's got to work it a little bit. And the more he works it, his confidence is built. And now he's able to stare down the pitcher on the mound instead of the pitcher staring him down at the plate. Come on. You got to work it. And Paul is just saying, he's just letting them know, listen, the church is supposed to work. Let me say it like this, and you could take it in a lot of different ways. The church works. The church, it works. I don't know if that church thing is going to work out for us. It works. Yeah. It works. Let me keep reading. Verse 15, instead we will speak the truth. Come on, get fired up, somebody, because finally we can tell them. But then it says, in love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Come on. Now let's break it down. When a builder builds, he needs some things. Okay? First thing, if you're going to build something, you got to have a place to build it. I was thinking about this morning. Some of the places that people choose to build, before they can build, they got to clear some things out. Come on, before some things were built in your life, you had to clear some things out of the way. You had some things that were getting in the way of the work that God wanted to do in your life, and there had to be a clearing, just like when a builder goes to that lot. Maybe there's some trees, maybe there's some trash. He has to clear the lot to make room for what's going to be built. So you got to have a place, but not just a place, there also has to be a plan. You got to have some plan. You don't just show up out there and start throwing up lumber and hope for the best. I mean, if you choose to build a house that way, that's not a good idea, amen? In fact, they won't even let you do it. You got to have some plans, and the plans have to be approved before you are able to move forward. But not only do you need plans, not only do you have to have the place, but you're going to need some people. It takes people to build something, amen? If you were building a house, you need some people to help you out because you can't do it by yourself. There's a lot of people trying to do it by themselves, and as a result, they always get in over their head. No wonder they're struggling. No wonder they're struggling. We need some people to help. And when I think of that, that's where I begin to see the church, because Jesus is a master builder. Amen. I'm thinking of the church. Jesus is a master builder, and he was looking for a place. He was looking for a place to build his church, and he said, I have a place. I want to build a church in Tallahassee, Florida, because I've got a plan, and there's a bunch of people that need to know that I have a plan for their life. But in order for this thing to be built the way that it is planned, the people have to come together and begin to do the work. Are you starting to catch on with what I'm saying? There is a place, and there is a plan, and there is a people. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. There's a place, there's a plan, and there's people. You see, his plan is going to fulfill his purpose. And he has a purpose for your life. And his purpose for you is that you would know him and that you would help other people to know him. And in order for this thing to gain influence, what he does is he brings those people together that are living out his plan, and it creates this synergy. Are you starting to see what I'm talking about? It creates this synergy, because just like you need God to do something in your life, I need it too. And just like we need it, she needs it too. So let's you and me work together to reach her. And then once he reaches her, all three of us are going to work together to reach her, to reach him, to reach all of them. And next thing you know, you begin to see God's plan unfolding in people's lives, because all we're doing is this. We're just working it. So that's what we're doing. He's working on me. When I was a kid, y'all want me to sing it. We used to sing, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. They're saying, don't do it, don't do it. I'm going to do it like them old country songs. I'm just gonna say it. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I forget the next line. But the final is, he's still working on me. And as he's working on me, other people are being affected. Imagine this. If you're a mom and God's working on you, it affects your kids. If you're a dad and he's working on you, it affects your kids. Let me flip it. If you're a kid and he's working on you, it affects the mom and the dad. Don't keep your kids from the youth group. Amen. Somebody in the youth group should shout right there, because that was a good plug for Surge right there. That's as good as it gets for Surge. He's gathering, listen, he's gathering a people. Are you hearing? He's gathering a people together to advance his purpose and plans. you got a place to belong. Like, you belong here. I need you to see that. You belong here. You have a place to belong. You have a part to play. And he's given you gifts. He's given you abilities that are necessary. He's given you those gifts and abilities that are necessary for the church, for us to accomplish all that he has planned for us. Let me say it like this. We couldn't reach them. We can't serve them like we could if you were serving. There's so much more that we can do when we work together. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yes. So watch this. Part of the plan that God has for your life is necessary to fulfill God's plan for their church. And let me make it personal. For our church. It's not just you have a task. It's that we have a purpose to fulfill. And so by serving, by handling the task, we didn't even realize that we were actually building his church. Are you understanding this today? So as we're reaching, as we're serving, we're building the church, people are saved, and the church is being built. And there's a verse in Psalms that I absolutely love in Psalm 69. And King David said it like this. He says, passion for your house has consumed me. Passion for your house has consumed me. I'm consumed with a passion for God's house because the very house that God has me to be a part of and to help build is the very house that is building me. Are you grabbing this today? In other words, I got to stay in the house because in the house is where I begin to get the benefits. And so there's some of us who don't see being in the house as important because we got other things to do, but being in the house is so important because in the house is where God is building you, but in the house as God is building you is where God is building them. So we all have a part in this thing, and God is working in it, and he is working through each and every part because that's just how God works. Come on. And so you and I, we've got to be these co-laborers with Christ. This is what I realized right in this message. Is that Jesus used his church to build me. Like this, I can honestly say that this right here can literally be the theme statement of my life right here. This is how personal this is to me. Because Jesus used his church to build me. In Gonzales, Louisiana, suburb of Baton Rouge, on Airline Highway, there was a church called Faith Tabernacle. Don't worry, they changed the name. I know, that's old school. But it was called Faith Tabernacle, where as a second grader, I began to go to this church with my mom. And it was in that church that I heard the good news about Jesus Christ. And it was in that church that I surrendered my life to Christ at 10 years old, September the 23rd, 1985. Come on, somebody. I know the exact date. The lady that was preaching, her name was Peggy Richards. She was from Little Rock, Arkansas, and this lady can preach. She was an old school throwdown kind of preacher. And my dad looked over at me at the end of that service and he said, son, are you ready to surrender your life to Jesus? I didn't know if I was in trouble or not. I didn't know what was going on. All I knew was, Dad, whatever you say, I'm going to follow. And Dad said, I want to pray with you. And right there, we got on our knees, and my dad prayed with me to accept Jesus Christ. It was in that church. And can I rewind? It was in that church that my dad bowed his knee and said yes to Jesus too. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Jesus used his church to build me. And it was in that church that I accepted Jesus. It was in that church at 12 years old where a man named Van Ducote baptized me, where I went public with my faith, just like some of you are going to go public today with your faith. It was in that church. And I didn't realize at the time that that church was helping to build my faith because God had a plan for my life. I didn't realize it at that time. I was just doing what mom and dad told me to do. Just wanted to be a good kid. But God was working it. And all I knew to do was work right along with it. And I gave my life to Jesus. And I remember sitting in that youth group not long after I got baptized. I could take you to the very spot today. The name of our youth group was Rushing Wind Youth Ministry. Feel the wind, baby. Pastor Greg Jones was speaking. I don't remember the whole sermon, but I do remember one of the characters in his stories was Maniac Melvin. It's youth ministry. You got to roll with it. And I remember sitting there, and I wasn't sitting with any of my friends that night. I was sitting by myself. And don't feel sorry for me, because I had friends. One, but he wasn't there. No. That night, I had to sit alone, because it was that night that he sat with me. And it was that night where I realized I will spend the rest of my life preaching the gospel. I was 12. I remember it. And I didn't know what God was doing. But he was building me. And I was a part of that youth group. And whenever that guy that was playing the drums quit, for the first time in my life, I was interested in playing music. And that's where I decided I want to learn to play, because there ain't nobody else. And I like the music. And we're here early anyway, so I might as well do something fun. And I sat with this older man that worked with my dad, and I watched him play. And he taught me how to play the drums. And I was playing in the worship team at the church. I didn't realize what God was doing. I just thought it was fun. He was building me. And then we started these things called small groups. And there was a guy by the name of Lee Jacobs. His mother-in-law sitting right there. Lee said, "Wade, I want you to be in my small group." And he said, "I want you to be my assistant." I said, "That sounds good. I don't know what it is, but sure, I'll do it." And so we would plan these small group Bible studies. And one week he said, "I can't be there. I need you to do it." And that's where this thing started getting real to me. He was building me. And one day they told me the youth pastor at the church was resigning. And some of those things that God had been doing in my life was starting to make sense, because I'm understanding now some purpose behind it. And that church was still building me. And I became the youth pastor. And for 12 years as a youth pastor, even though I'm sitting there and I'm working it, and God is using me to build the church, he was building me. He was bringing young people around me. He was exposing me to people who would speak faith into my life that would help me to believe that one day I can go and plant a church in a city that I did not know a single person in. The very church that I was helping to build was the very church that was building me. And that same church that was building me said, "We want to help you go and build others." Where is God? Watch this. What is the place that God wants you to go to build a church for him? That was the conversation in my pastor's office. You need to find that place. And those of you who've been to our one-on-one lunch, you've heard the story. We've tried several different cities, but the place that God wanted us to go was here. And each step along the process, and this is what I need you to see, it's not a one-way street. Because even though God brought us here to build this church that would affect your life, he brought you into the church to affect my life. Do you see how this building thing works? It's not project based. See, that's how we're trained to think. We're trained to think in projects. Get the project done and we're finished. Can I tell you, the work here is not finished. In fact, it's just begun. And this is the place. And there is still a plan. And God is still gathering people. And some of you, even as I'm sharing this message, you're saying, I'm one of those people, not just one of those people who come, but I'm one of those people that are saying, give me a tool bag. Come on, load me down. Let me carry something. Let me build something, because there's a lot of people around here that need to be reached and touched, and their lives need to be built. But more importantly, my life needs to be built. My life needs to be built. That's why I say that my story, my theme of my life is Jesus used the church to build me. And I'm so thankful for Faith Tabernacle Church. Come on. I'm so thankful for all of those people that put up with that little guy those years ago who had no clue what God was setting up in his life, but were faithful to continue to invest and reach out and serve and help build me into who God wanted me to be. And because of that, I'm here today. And because of that, that's what I offer to our church today. That's the kind of church that we can be, amen? The kind of church that doesn't just come to hear a message, but the kind of church that lives a message, that helps people to see that God's working in me and he's working in you, and the work that he's doing in us, it's going to expand beyond even this place, and it's going to expand even beyond you. And listen, you haven't even seen anything yet with what God is going to do in your life. And that's not just hopeful thinking. That's not just wishful thinking. That is the story of my life, and that is the story that I share with you today. And that will be the story of our church, that our church builds. Amen. Our church builds. We build faith, and we build the local church, because we believe that it is the hope of the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get to work. I'm ready to get to work. I feel like doing something big. And some of you are saying, well, got a lot of work to do with me, Pastor. I promise you that. And to that we say, amen. 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 I finish with this. I've learned this. That when you build God's house, he builds yours. You can argue with me all day if you want. I'll let you keep going. And your words can sound however they want to sound. But I got a whole entire life to back up what I just said. When you build God's house, he'll build yours. And it's an investment that has tremendous return. Yes. Yes. Our church builds. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, as you hear this message, course of it, you begin to evaluate your faith and consider where you're at. And perhaps today, as you're hearing it, you recognize that you are away from God. But even here in the message, it's almost like the Holy Spirit is reaching out his hand to you to pull you right on in. We've been praying for you. We've been preparing for this very moment right here where you have the opportunity to surrender your life completely to Jesus. Not just as a religious act, but as a life-changing step of faith. And if you're here this morning and you know, you would say, Pastor, I need God to do some work in my life because I am not living the life that God intended for me. I've been living my own way. I've been reserving myself to my own ways of thinking instead of surrendering completely to him. And when you look at the course of your life, perhaps you're working to try to fix your mistakes or striving to be a better person. But in reality, you know that you need to be saved. You don't just need to be helped for your sins. You need to be saved from your sins. And today, The good news for you is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from your sins, and the curse of sin is broken off of your life, and you have been granted eternal life with Christ Jesus simply by believing and trusting in Him and following His ways. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I can't continue to do this my way, but I need to surrender my life to Christ, accept Him as my Lord and Savior, and let Him begin to work in my life. Let Him begin to change me. I just want you, wherever you are, just to lift a hand real quick and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to surrender my life to Christ. Anyone else today? Come on, some hands have gone up. I don't want you to be the only one. I don't want you to miss out on this. This is your opportunity, Pastor. I need to surrender my life to Christ. I've focused my life on my own plans, but I'm realizing that God's got a plan. And His plan includes forgiveness. For every person who raised their hand this morning, I want to ask you to join me in this prayer, as well as everyone else in the church. Because those who raised their hands, I want you to know, we're standing with you in faith. We're with you. We're not just for you, but we are with you. Amen? And we will pray with you. We will believe with you, because we know that there is work that God can do in your life, and it's going to affect you, but we also know it's going to affect us too. So I want to ask all of us to join me as we pray this prayer out loud together. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your love, that you would reach out to someone like me. I'm a sinner. I have done things that displease you. But I've heard the good news that you would forgive me. So today, I put my faith and trust in Jesus, who paid the price and took my punishment for all my sins, so that I could be saved, so that I can be forgiven. And I choose this day to follow you, Jesus, to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. I'm all yours. Do a new work in me, and I want to work with you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, can we give Jesus some praise in this place? If you prayed that prayer today, perhaps for the first time, perhaps you're making a recommitment to Christ, we're proud of you. We're so thankful that you made that decision today. But this is just the beginning. This isn't the finish line. This is the starting line. And we want to help you to keep taking steps, to keep going and keep growing in your walk with God. And in that worship guide you were handed at the doors in the back as you came in, there was a connection card in there. And I want to ask you, if you don't mind, grab that connection card and fill that out. And on your way out this morning, you can drop that in the offering buckets. And this week, I want to follow up with you. I want to send you a letter. And I just want to follow up with you just saying, hey, here's some steps that you can take to keep going. And we basically are saying, hey, this is how you can get involved in the church. Come on, get involved in God's house. Because if you're in His house, He's going to work on you. And not only is He going to work on you, but He's going to use you to do some work. Amen? Come on, let's not be afraid of work. Come on, He's got some good work planned for us. Amen? He's got some good work planned for you. So it's time to get to work. So I want to ask you, just fill that connection card out, drop that in there, and we'll follow up with you this week as we keep going and keep growing in our faith. Amen. I do want to pray for something else before we wrap up and finish the service with our offering this morning. Just all, the whole time I'm up here speaking, it's just burning in my heart the work that God wants to do through our church. It's just burning in my heart. And can I just be a little bit honest with you this morning? It scares me. It scares me, the work that God wants to do, because I feel like it's a great work. Come on, if God's doing it, it's great. Amen? If He's doing it, it's great. You can bring that to the bank, baby. But at the same time, God is gathering people. He's got a place. He's got a plan. But it takes people. I just feel like we need to pray. He said, the harvest is plentiful. Watch this. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's a lot of work to be done, but there's not a lot of people who are willing to roll up their sleeves. By the way, that's why I roll my sleeves up every week, because I'm doing work. I ain't trying to look pretty up here. I'm working. This ain't my off day. It's my work day. But I want to pray because maybe you're saying, Pastor, I want to get to work. I feel it. I sense that God is doing a work in me, and He wants to use our church to do some work in our community. God wants to use our church to do some work in some other areas, some other countries. Amen. And if you want to join me in the work, I just want to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. I just want to pray over us today. Maybe you're already serving on the team, but you're saying, Pastor, we got work to do. Maybe you're looking at me like I'm crazy, trying to tell me, Pastor, we got work to do. We don't have time to talk. Let's get to work. Too many people want to hang out at the job site when we got work to do. Can't build a house if you look at it. Got to build it. I want you to lift your hands to God because just like last week we talked about serving, we're setting up. God wants to use our hands to build. And Father, you see the hands of every person that stands today with me and understanding that you're building your church, which means you're building us. But you called us, the church, to build other people's faith, and you called us, the church, to build the local church. And Lord, today we understand that you have given us a commission. You've given us a responsibility. You've given us the responsibility to work. And Father, the work is great, but we know that you're great and that we serve you. And so, Lord, today I pray over every person who stands together with us this morning that the great work that you called us to, it has begun. And Lord, your word says that the work that has begun, you are faithful to finish. And so, Lord, as you're working in us, God, as you're building us, God, we want to build a house for you, God. We want to build your kingdom. And Lord, I just pray for your grace and your favor. Come on, I need you to lift your hands. I'm praying for your grace. I'm praying for your favor to be upon us, Father, to build people's faith. Your grace and your favor to be on us, God, to build your church, God, a church that shines, a church, God, that speaks a clear message of your love, that speaks the good news of Jesus, that speaks hope and speaks life into people's lives. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray, God, that you will overwhelm us with your heart, Father. Lord, that the same things that break your heart, Father, will break ours, God, that we can feel the love and we can share the love, God, that comes straight from your throne. And I just pray, God, over this church today, God, that you will use us, God, to do a great work in this city, Father. You would use this church, God, to literally launch ministries, God, not just here locally, but even globally, Father, that you're planting in the heart of men and women in this room, God. You're speaking specific assignments and callings, God, and new opportunities and open doors. And Lord, today I just pray, God, even as our hands are raised available to do the work, they're also raised in surrender. We're saying, Lord, use us. Use us. So today I bless your church. And I thank you, Lord, that your hand is on us. And Father, just like you're building us, you're building your church that will build others. In Jesus' name, amen.